The Oregon Lottery frequently touts its successes, like the recent announcement that its newer video terminals seem to be increasing sales. More income for the state lottery means more money available for state programs, since the lottery puts money into schools and other government entities. But more income can also mean more people who will need the services of problem gambling programs. The lottery sets aside money for such programs as well. They include Emergence, based in Eugene, where Michelle Tantriella Modell is the program director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Michelle, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a bit about Emergence, how long it's been around, and what the general thrust of what you do is.
Emergence has been around for a little over 30 years, and we do addictions and mental health for people in Lane County. And the problem gambling services that we have are, we run a problem gambling services program for people who have an addiction or a problem with gambling, and we also run the Oregon Gambling Helpline, which fields calls from all over the state, and we can refer people to the providers in their community.
So that's you that's running the OPGR.org
yes.
website?
Well, no. Actually, we don't run the website. The lottery actually runs the website.
Uh-huh.
But it connects us to it connects you to us.
Okay. So
call center.
And in the ebb and flow of other addiction services, I'm curious to know where problem gambling sort of comes in there. Is it something that is a constant issue? Is it lesser at sometimes, greater than others? And versus what might happen with other sorts of addictions like alcohol or prescription drugs?
You know, I believe it's a consistent issue. What we have seen in terms of ebb and flow, though, is in 2008 with the recession, we had less people coming in for treatment. Couple things happened then. We had the recession and that fall, and then in 2009 there was a smoking ban that went into effect. And so the number of people who were actually accessing our services dropped significantly since then. And it's slowly picking up as the lottery is helping with advertising to let people know that, you know, they have always helped with advertising, but they're really doing a heavy campaign right now. And so that helps let people know that we're still here, that we're still providing the services.
So it's interesting to think of the lottery marketing the services for problem gambling because, you know, when you go to a convenience store every day and buy something, as I do, you're always aware of the fact that there's something new to be bought all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the X scratch-off games I just mm-hmm. noticed the other day for the first time, you know,
mm-hmm.
20X versus, you know, 20 times your winnings, 50 times your winnings, X. So there's always some new wrinkle and always some way that it's advertised. I wonder, I mean, obviously the money that gets put into the advertising for the problem gambling resources, I'm going to guess, is not quite as much.
I'm going to guess that as well.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have those numbers, but yeah, I'm going to guess. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess as well.
Well, how responsive then is the cycle monetarily? I mean, when the lottery makes more money, as it announced it is doing with its new video terminals, do programs like yours get more money to deal with the addictions?
Well, what happens is so we don't get the money directly, obviously. The lottery it goes to the state, and then, and yes, as the percentage goes up, our percentage goes up because it's legislated in that. If we're going to have lottery in the state of Oregon, then we're going to have treatment, and we get 1% of the, I think it's the gross net proceeds. I keep.
But 1% of some number that
yeah,
is either gross or not of what the lottery
so
brings.
So if that number goes up, our number that goes up, meaning that it goes, there's a larger pocket that goes to the state. And then there's many services for problem gambling. It's the helpline. It's all of the treatment providers throughout the entire state, workforce development where, you know, that we're constantly training new folks to come into the field. I'm trying to think of what else. I can't remember all of the money that it goes for, but it all goes, prevention. Prevention's a huge thing, trying to help people to get educated, helping parents understand that this can be a problem. And going into the schools and working with people to help them understand that this could, like I say, become an addictive problem.
I'm curious then about the prevention programs when you mentioned schools, about how young those might start. I mean, I know I've seen kids in single digits who are really interested in the idea of, you know, having the fun of scratching the stuff off one of those cards and look at the numbers underneath, and you might win something. Whee,
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. I get it, and it is fun. The problem is, here's the thing. we know that 3 to 6% of, let's say, 3% on the low end, 6% on the high end, of people have a problem with gambling. So that means 94% of people never have a problem. So 94% of people can gamble. And the thing, we don't want to start children out too young, because we also know that the introduction of something like gambling or other things at a young age can have a correlation to becoming problematic as they get older. And that being said, it could be that it could be exciting for one child, and it could create a problem for another down the road. And it's kind of like Russian roulette.
You went to the heart of what I was driving at, which is, when do you figure out when is a good time in life to start this? Because there are some kids who might not have known about the program and think, wow, that sounds cool.
Yeah, of course. Well, what we know is the brain of teens is developing at least until till age 25. So the prefrontal cortex, which is the executive functioner, which gives us, you know, reasoning, right or wrong, cause and effect, that isn't fully developed to the age of 25. And if we interrupt that process through anything, gaming excessively, drugs or alcohol, gambling, it could change the effect of how that brain is wired. In fact, it does, and I don't have the research all on that. And so we don't know what the effect is going to be to any given one individual.
Michelle Tantriello-Modell is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange Program Director at Emergence in Eugene. We're talking about problem gambling as it relates to the state lottery, the recent announcement that the state lottery is bringing in more money from its new video terminals. And wanted to get a look at where the money goes for prevention and treatment programs, and that's what we're finding out. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area by email jx@jeffnet.org. Bill in Medford, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, good morning. You've heard me say this before, but
yes.
I want to ask the nice lady, don't you find it ironic that the state sells a toxic product and then has to provide a service to cure people from the toxic product? And second question, what's fun about scratching off something and giving away the milk money from the for the family?
All right, thanks
for
that, Bill.
Your comments really bother me.
My comments are hers.
Hers.
Okay, thanks for that, Bill.
Well, one thing I'm going to say is I believe it's the state's responsibility. If the state is going to offer the venue, which could cause the addiction, then the state's responsibility is to provide treatment for those people who do become addicted. And so that's my answer to number one. And number two, you know, some people see it as fun and others don't, and that's really about preference.
We have a question here from a caller who didn't want to stay on the air, wants to know how much CEOs of the gambling syndicates get paid. I can't imagine that falls in your realm.
It doesn't fall in our realm at all, and that's a very interesting question.
That really is. So let's talk about the components of treatment programs then. How many people end up calling the helpline or going to OPGR.org over the course of a month, a year?
Well, we get a lot of hits thousands of hits on the webpage a month. The actual callers that come in are about 300 a month. It used to be higher than that, and we're trying to build that back up. And I think that was with the recession, and that's statewide. That's not just our program as numbers drop. That's statewide. We've seen people entering treatment drop. I think there was some mixed message at some point around, I can't remember when, that people believed that we weren't in treatment there wasn't treatment available for folks anymore, and that is so not true. Treatment has never gone away. People who have a problem can definitely access it. So we get maybe 70, 80 actual calls for help a month where people are actually calling, seriously calling, seeking a provider in their area and getting connected to that provider in their area. We can direct connect them right when they're on the phone. If it's Monday through Friday during business hours, and then, of course, the helpline is 24/7. It's in the evening and weekends. And so we really are trying to be available for people so that we know that when they make that call that it's a difficult call to make, and we want to help them make the next step and get into treatment.
How often is the phone line staffed?
Oh, it's staffed 24/7. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Always somebody there then. And then what are the resources that that the person on the receiving end can refer a caller to?
So we have 46 providers in the state of Oregon. So every county has something. And I know that, and for some folks, because they live out in rural Oregon and it might be difficult for them to drive, or they're homebound because of an illness or something prevents them from getting to a provider, the state provides a phone counseling system. So they can talk to a certified counselor on the phone and have their sessions on the phone. Okay. So we really want to make it accessible for everyone.
What is the phone number? I know I've mentioned opgr.org a couple of times, but
it's 1-877-MY-LIMIT. The phone number has not changed. Even the web page is a relatively new web page, and it's quite lovely. OPG, Oregon Problem Gambling Resources. It's absolutely a wonderful page that they put together for us. But the phone number is still 1-877-MY-LIMIT.
Okay, and do you have the digits in front of you for the folks who are using...
It's 187. I don't have the digits in front
okay.
of me.
Okay, one of us can try to
figure
it out.
I might. I'm looking at a presentation that we provided so I can answer any questions, and at the end it's often on there, and she didn't put it this time. Sorry.
All right. We'll put it into our little machine here and figure out what the number gets to, because I know as we go through time, many more phones do not have the letters that correspond,
yes.
particularly with cell phones, and that's where you're going to find people these days.
Yes.
So 87MY-LIMIT, opgr.org, and then I noticed a couple times when I went to opgr.org late last week just to gather information
yes.
for this discussion that sometimes a box will pop up and say nobody's available to help you with an online chat right now, but that indicates that the rest of the time there are people there to help you with a chat.
Yeah, and I'm surprised you got that, because there's always people there to help you with a chat.
Okay.
So that's curious to me.
Okay.
And we can take more than one chat at a time. So that shouldn't, you know, be an issue as to why someone is not there, unless you went in after hours.
No.
Because the chat is not 24/7. So the phone is 24/7, but the chat is from 8 in the morning till 9 at night.
Okay. The programs that people can get into then, I mean, how long does it often take to get somebody treated if they're going through addictive gambling behaviors?
We're very fortunate in the state pays for up to a year of treatment for people, and not all people need that time. But the fact that it's there is wonderful. And then they'll pay for a year of aftercare so that people can continue coming. Some people, you know, it depends. It so much depends on the person. You know, some people can come in and within a few months they can stop their gambling and, you know, they've done it. And other people may struggle and it may take a lot longer. It's really about the individual.
I guess I haven't asked yet about, because lots of people can obviously come in through the helpline and opgr.org. So what percentage of the people who come in are people who are experiencing addiction through things that are provided by the Oregon Lottery?
Oh, probably 80%. Because 80%, well, let's put it this way, 80%, we do get stats from it's confidential, and so we don't gather full names and all of that, but we will gather things like the type of gambling someone is doing. And so there is an agency, a company, and that gathers and does that statistical analysis for us. And so I'd say between 80 and 90% of the callers are doing the video or line games, you know, in all the delis and pubs and those kinds of things that are provided by the lottery.
Is the video the one that seems to get people and hold them for the longest?
Yeah, it's the video. Yes, it definitely is. It definitely is.
So are there particular issues with the new video terminals? I mean, these are the ones that the Oregon Lottery touted in mid-June. Is like, hey, our sales are up since we started switching out the old machines for the new ones.
Yeah, well, okay. You know, the problem is that gambling, like any addiction, works on the brain. And even though it's a behavior, it's going to set a cycle in motion, a pattern in motion, and it's going to, it actually puts, I don't know if you all know what dopamine is. It's a chemical in the brain.
It's a pleasure center thing. Yeah,
exactly, and it hits that, and it can flood. If someone really is gambling heavily, it can just flood the brain with dopamine. When the brain is flooded with dopamine, the mechanisms that tell us, you've had enough, stop, are broken. And that pattern stays in place until someone, and that's true of any addiction. And so people, so if these games, if these, I was just reading that article about the lottery, and if it keeps them there longer, it's not, the, it, you know, gambling is not about the money at all. And I think that's hard for people to understand. It's about the dopamine being given to, into the brain, and it's it for some people they experience a high. We've had people who have been on pain pumps because they've had so much pain, but when they're in front of the machine, they don't experience any pain at all.
Wow.
Yeah, so it really is about what's going on in the brain.
So is the dopamine coming from winning or just the act of playing?
It's the act of playing, because the anticipation of winning will release the dopamine. So it's not even the winning. And, you know, these machines are based on, I don't know if people understand, it's what we call an intermittent reinforcement schedule. And that means it's random. That is, in behaviorism, that is the hardest schedule to extinguish, because you never know when it's going to come. So that anticipation, that waiting for something big to hit, keeps the player in action, we call it, and that being in action is the dopamine.
Okay, so this explains why people who might have gotten into one of the video games or Xbox or PlayStation,
yes,
or whatever, they can get into gambling,
yes,
without it even being about money at all.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we did go back, figure out the numbers. It's 877-695-4648 or 87-MY-LIMIT. 877-695-4648 or online opgr.org. Emergence in Eugene is what handles the helpline stuff. That's where Michelle Tantriella-Modell is the program director. Michelle, thank you so much for your time today on the Jefferson
Thank
Exchange.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.